The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2023, Charting the Course, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join. or by making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, please visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Hi, everyone. Today I'm going to be talking about federated software forges. So to get started, I'm going to first explain what a forge is, and then later on what federation is. So a forge is like a website that you use for code hosting, code collaboration. So just think of like GitHub, for example, is a good example of a forge. So it's like a proprietary centralized forge, but it is very popular for hosting free software projects, like probably like 95% or more free software projects are currently hosted on GitHub. There, of course, are a number of alternatives. So there's like GitLab, Giddy, Forgio, and a bunch of others. So all of those that I just listed are like forge software. So they're not like a website in themselves, but they're like a server software that you can download and then install on your server and then run it. And then now you have a forge website. Of course, not everyone wants to like run their own Forge servers, so there's a number of websites like Codeberg and Ramagit, and KDE, for instance, runs a GitLab instance. So there are a number of these forges and Forge platforms out there. Some of them are free software like Giddy and Forgio. Some of them are GitHub. And the current situation is that these are all isolated islands, in that if I have a project on like my Forgio instance and someone else has a project on their like GitLab instance, then if I want to like contribute to their project, to the other person's project, then I need to open an account on their Forge and then go through all those steps and then to contribute on their project on their Forge. Right, so there's no sort of communication between any of these forges currently. I also want to briefly explain why you might want to use a forge. So, like there are a number of benefits, like they're easier to use than like an email-based workflow, and they're like more accessible, things like that. You might also point out that like probably know that Git itself is already decentralized, right? But the thing with Git is that it's a tool that's designed specifically for one purpose, and that purpose is tracking source code and files. Like Git is very well at doing that, but Git itself has no capabilities for like bug tracking or for pull requests or like project boards or things like that. Like for instance, Git was originally developed for source control for the Linux kernel, and what the kernel developers do is they have a mailing list for like handling incoming patches and stuff. They also have a bug tracker and other tools like that. So you can't just use Git by itself in order to develop software with other people. You need all these other tools for handling like bug tracking and like patches and pull requests and things like that. So that's sort of what a forge offers. And then lastly, I should probably mention SourceHut is a increasingly popular Forge nowadays, but it takes it does actually try to sort of address this like isolated island situation by allowing people to interact with source code projects over email, so the SMTP protocol. But I'm going to explain why there's a number of problems with that approach. So the title of this slide is actually kind of misleading, but I'll explain why. So if you have like a repository or a cool project and you want to share it with other people, the way you would have to do that is you would, like even though Git itself is a distributed source control system, you like it doesn't really offer like any access control capabilities or any way you can share repositories for other people. You need to like put it on like a server or some website that's publicly accessible, and then other people can now clone your repository. So what these projects I listed trying to do is being able to host your Git repository not on like a normal website but over some peer-to-peer network or something like that. They are interesting projects, but they aren't exactly tackling the problem which I'm talking about today, because they're more like providing a peer-to-peer way for hosting your Git repositories, not like offering the bug tracking and pull requests and features like that. So they aren't forges. And going to explain sort of why our current situation is problematic. So you might have heard of a few years ago, GitHub announced that in order to comply with US regulations, they would be shutting off access to GitHub from developers in Iran and a few other countries. And of course, GitHub is a proprietary platform. There are tons of other issues with it. I'm not really going to talk a lot about those because you can just do a web search online if you want more reasons about why GitHub is bad. And I have much more interesting things to talk about today. So, what we want to, like, if you think about how software development for free software works. Like it's a very global, like large scale process. Like there are people all around the world contributing to these projects, and it's like a very decentralized sort of process, right? And it doesn't make a lot of sense to force everyone into like a single platform what we want to do instead is give people like choices and to avoid like vendor lock-in, allow people to use whatever forge they want, and these forges will be able to communicate with each other so that and we can make like this global decentralized network for code hosting. So the way we're gonna do that is with federation, so that would just basically means communication between different servers. And you probably have heard of Mastodon recently, and it's a social media microblogging platform that's decentralized using what's called the ActivityPub protocol. So this is, ActivityPub is a very general protocol that's built around this theoretical concept of the actor model, where you sort of imagine you have a lot of these actors, which are basically people or bots or whatever, and all these people are sending messages between. They can send messages between each other. There's like an inbox and an outbox. So it's a bit like email in a sense, and it's ActivityPub sort of provides some guidelines on how to like what specific kinds of messages that these actors are sending between each other, how the actors should handle an incoming message and forward messages and things like that. But overall, it's a very like general, generic protocol. Like it's designed to be very flexible and universal. And as a result, if you it doesn't give you enough to actually build an application out of it. You need to fill in a lot of the gaps yourself. Like Mastodon, for instance, has like a lot of ActivityPub extensions and things that it's developed on top of ActivityPub in order to create like its microblogging application. So with ActivityPub, it's very general, and you need a lot more in order to actually do something useful with it. So what we have been developing is something called ForgeFed, which is an extension to the ActivityPub protocol. And basically, it has two main parts. And then I guess I could just like show exactly what the protocol looks like. So there's two portions, which are vocabulary and behavior. On the website, there's actually modeling and vocabulary, but they're pretty similar. So the vocabulary really is like you have, let's see. I'm trying to scroll the page. There we go. Yeah, so you have all these like kinds of things, like say you have, like a repository. And we want like this common data format and to represent various Forge data, like repositories or issues or patches and things like that. Because if different forges all implement ForgeFed, like we need them all to like speak this same like data format for their data. So, for instance, for repositories, there's a specific way you represent it. It's just this based on thing, and then like there's a bunch of examples of that. And then for let me back to this. For the behavior, that's more of like, now that we have this common data format, whenever we're sending these messages around, and let's say my Forge receives this, a patch or a pull request message or something, like what should my Forge do? And like what sort of side effects should that cause? That's really what the behavior section of the protocol specifies. And the reason we need this protocol is because ActivityPub is such a general protocol, we have to specify these extensions to it so that all the implementations of Forge Federation so that they can all be compatible and like interoperable with each other. And then I should probably take a moment to explain some of the problems with doing federation over SMTP, because that's another very widely used federation protocol. So there are a few main issues with SMTP. Like one is that email, like SMTP email, is very largely dominated by two or three companies. Like there's Gmail, there's like Microsoft Outlook or something, and they it's basically an oligopoly, right? Where there's just a few companies that are like very in control of email at this point. Also, it's not self-hosting friendly at all. Like I can't just go home and spin up an email server on like my home PC or something and try to like send and receive emails out of that, because email throughout its history suffered like spam problem and a lot of the way that a lot of these large email providers deal with is they just have very, very aggressive policies to combat spam, and that's that makes it so that like if I want to host an email server from like my home lab, then it's really just not possible at all. So with ForgeFed, what we can now do, we can enable this like transparent collaboration across servers, even if these servers run different Forge software. So our goal with this is so that if you want to collaborate with, if you want to contribute to a project that's hosted like on a completely different website, on a completely different Forge, it should be feel like exactly the same as contributing a project that's just like locally on your Forge. And I actually have a demo for this in a bit. So you want to be able to of course, file issues, projects open like pull requests or send patches, things like that. You can comment on issues and stuff. You can create like organizations or teams that include users on different forges, so that's all like stuff that you would expect right from this. And the last two points are a lot more interesting. Mastodon notably does not have any global search feature. So it's like design choice that they chose early on, that on your Mastodon instance, you can't just search for something and then see results over the entire Mastodon network. And then recently, a number of people have tried developing global searcher indexers for Mastodon and the microblogging Fediverse as a whole. But those have been met with a lot of backlash by people, because a lot of these global search projects, they're just like indiscriminately indexing millions of posts, and they're not like, they're basically opt out, and a lot of people were very upset about that. So this for us, we have a similar project, which is called StarChart. So we haven't been working on it much lately because we want to get the first three points working first, but our goal eventually is to be able to develop like an opt-in global search, because if you ask a lot of free software developers why they use GitHub, even though it's proprietary, often what they'll say is that it is like, everyone uses it, I want to put my project on there so that it's like discoverable and people can just stumble upon it. Because of course GitHub does have this sort of global search feature where you can just put in like some search terms and then it'll just spit out results from like all the tens of millions of projects that are on GitHub, which can be really useful, right? So people might think that by switching to like these federated forges, maybe they'll be missing out on that. But with some sort of global search, hopefully we can provide that. And then lastly, we want to enable migrating your accounts or your repository or whatever as easily and seamlessly as possible from one server to another, because like there are a ton of reasons why you might want to migrate your account or your projects. Like the Forge server that you're on right now, maybe they've like changed their policies to something you don't like. Maybe they're just they're having funding issues, or maybe just don't want your like identity tied to the this particular Forge, or like perhaps they're just having hardware issues or something, and they're like servers on. It's unstable, or they're going to shut down, one of our goals with ForgeFed is to add these capabilities to ActivityPub as an extension to be able to easily migrate your projects from servers to other servers. So that actually is just the beginning. Like we have a much wider dream, which is we want to be able to grow a whole ecosystem out of this. So another reason why people use GitHub right now so often is that with GitHub, they have this huge ecosystem, all these like websites and apps and tools that all are compatible, and they all integrate with GitHub. For instance, if you want to use like GitHub's like CI or build system, they have like thousands of these plugins that people have already written that makes it a lot easier to use their CI. And a lot of websites have like GitHub integration, like importing from GitHub, or like just like all sorts of, there's all sorts of stuff out there that's built to be compatible just with GitHub and the GitHub API. So they have this huge walled garden of all these apps that just work in the GitHub ecosystem. But we believe that with ForgeFed, we can try to create something similar but better. So we want since we have this open protocol ForgeFed, any code collaboration to our website or whatever, they can also just read this ForgeFed specification, implement it, and they can add ForgeFed support to their website or tool as well. And now, since their tool uses this like interoperable ForgeFed protocol, it's not going to be like GitHub where you're just locked into a single Forge and their API. Like we're going to have in the future, hopefully, a lot of different Forges, a lot of different tools, all implementing ForgeFed, and they all have this common data format. They have this common like protocol, and they should all be able to like communicate and they're all going to be interoperable. That's like our overall big picture goal here. And then I guess at this point I can show I guess I should explain the implementation first. So currently for ForgeFed, we are working on two implementations. So there's one implementation called Vervis, which is not really meant for people or end users to use. It's more like just a testing experimental implementation just for like ForgeFed developers. However, we also have a second implementation in Forge software called Forgio. So the story behind this is actually a little bit complicated. We were originally going to implement it in Giddy, which is a very popular self-hosted free software Forge. But Giddy ended up being taken over by a for-profit company, unfortunately. So there was a huge amount of drama over that. But in the end, it turned out okay. And in that, a lot of people got together. They made a fork of Giddy called Forgio. And most of the Federation developers, I think all of them have moved on to Forgio. And of course, there's a big task list with like around 100 tasks for implementing this, since it's, of course, a very large undertaking and requires a lot of architectural changes and stuff like that. But so now for the exciting part. So let's see. Yeah, so I have two Forgio instances set up. So I have one here and have a second one. I have a repository on the second one. And hopefully you can distinguish between the two because this one is in light mode and this one is in dark mode. So I have one here and then I also have one here as well. And then I have a repository on this light mode Forge. So, and what I wanna do is, so I'm going to try to contribute to this project here, but from this other Forge. So the two Forges are gonna talk to each other to make that happen. So I'm just gonna sign in here. So here we go. Yeah. So this Forge I think is like completely blank. There's nothing on it, and I just started it for this demo. And then so there's actually no UI really for these Federation features, since we want to like get the backend stuff working first. Because like without a backend, then they a Federation UI would kind of be useless. All right, so how we're like how it will eventually work is you'll just copy and paste the project you want to contribute to or search for it, and there'll be like a global search bar in this blank area right here that is not implemented quite yet. So instead, I'm just gonna navigate to the URI. The API endpoint manually for this. But basically, what we want to do here is we want to like view the other project on our own instance, since that's like the first step we need to do contribute to it. So the API endpoint is like some really complicated string. I'm going to try to see if I can memorize. Yeah, this is just because we haven't worked on the front end at all. So just have some complicated workarounds for that. It's like a very annoying string. But this is all going to be automated by the UI. Let's see, repo. Hopefully this works. Hope I didn't make a typo anywhere. Okay, yeah. So it did work, and as you can see, so this account, my username here is just A, and I'm viewing the repository from this guy on my own instance right now. So I want to contribute to it, so I want to send a pull request over. So the way you would do that is you would first fork the repo as usual, so just fork, and then let's see, just gonna edit it here, and then hello from Libra Planet, and then just commit this. Okay, so now I am going to send the pull request over, and let's see, new. So as you can see, I'm trying to send over to this. Other instance, and hello. Going to click create pull request, and then if everything goes as expected, so the pull request obviously I can see it here, but let's here, and as you can see, it's also on here as well. And you can see what files they changed. And there we go. So that's a pretty simple demo of this in action. So the two forges, the light mode one and the dark mode one, they were able to communicate with each other so that I can contribute to this project, Hello World, here from the other forge. That's just a simple demo of one of the many things that you'll be able to do. So the task list currently is around 40% completed, but actually we don't really need to complete like 100% of the tasks in order to have usable federation. So hopefully it'll be done but hopefully there will be usable federation that'll be merged and released in Forgio in around 2 more months. Yeah, since this has been a working, it's like ForgeFed, the protocol itself has been worked on for like around 5 years or so, and then this particular implementation has been in the works for at least a year by now. So it's getting there. And then there, of course, ForgeFed, the protocol, even though it has a long history, we've been working on it quite a lot, it still isn't complete. So both in that the vocabulary doesn't cover like all the many things you can do with a forge these days, like there are tons of different things, and then we haven't completely finished all of that. But also, there are a number of these other problems that we need to deal with, or at least be mindful of. So the first problem is spam and moderation, of course, because any decentralized network, you're always going to have. It's always going to be a huge social problem in your network. Like, fortunately, there are lots of examples of how people have tried to deal with these problems. Unfortunately, there's like no single best solution, no like one size fits all solution for spam and moderation. But it is something that we're thinking of a lot, because we do need to be able to like. Combat spam and have a good like moderation system in order for ForgeFed to be like useful and like friendly to use. And then another problem that often shows up with these federated systems like with Mastodon, for instance, is that you often get a situation where there's just a huge, there's just a few huge instances, or there's one implementation of the protocol that dominates. Like for microblogging, then that would be Mastodon, which is used by the vast majority of people in the Fediverse, and it has like a lot of control over the direction of the specification. For ActivityPub, the ActivityPub specification, interestingly, is like mostly dormant right now. But if you want to like build a microblogging application, you actually need to follow like all the Mastodon extensions, really. So Mastodon has like a large amount of influence over the like direction of like community. So that's something that could be problematic. Also for Mastodon, there's like three or four gigantic instances, and a very large portion of people are on like a few big instances. And then you might also have situations where like these instances have a large amount of power over the and influence over the entire network and how and the direction that the network evolves, and things like that. But there, of course, isn't a like good. There's not like a perfect solution for this, but we believe that through making migrations and just like being able to import and export and like import your data to different from one forge to another one, that should hopefully like make this problem less serious. Because if a lot of people are on this giant forge instance, and then the forge instance has some like new controversial policy or something, then if people can migrate their data as like very easily, then that should partially solve the problem. And the next point that I have is like a very general problem with self-hosting and like running your own servers, in that it's just like absolutely inaccessible to the vast majority of people. Like, if you want to host your own like 4GO instance, there's a huge number of steps you need to take. Like, you need to buy a domain name, you need to get a server, so either like a VPS or like you can repurpose like a computer at your house or something. But then if you use a computer at your house, then you need to go into the router settings and set up like port forwarding and do all sorts of stuff like that. And it's just like very complicated. And not easy at all. So of course, since this is like a very general problem, like for like us at with FortFed, we aren't really like trying to address it directly. Like there are a number of projects that are doing that. Like there are a few projects that are making making it a lot easier to install and run server software and not have to worry about all the small details with it and like maintaining everything. There are projects that try to use like tunneling and things like that in order to make it easier to host on like your own device, even if you don't have like a publicly accessible IP address and things like that. And then also another thing to consider is performance and just like scaling the network, because there are a lot of free software projects that are just absolutely huge. Like one instance is Giddy. Like they have just like tens of thousands of issues. Well, thankfully most of those are closed and resolved. But they also have like hundreds of people contributing. They have like hundreds of pull requests. And, like they're just huge projects, and do have to be mindful of things like scaling and performance. Like one example of this being problematic. Again, is with Mastodon. Like I keep on going to this as an analogy because it's very similar in that it's also using ActivityPub and has its own extensions. Is that if you post a message with a link in Mastodon, and then this message gets like federated out to a bunch of servers around the world. Then all these servers, they'll try to fetch the link that you posted in order to generate a link preview of it. And you, so you might have thousands of servers all trying to all sending requests to that website at the same time, and maybe your website is running on like a really bad connection or something, and that could basically cause a DDoS attack on that website due to all the servers fetching that link for the link previews. So so that is something that we do need to be mindful of. So I do want to also point out that back here. So for Geo, the implementation, and also for ForgeFed, the protocol itself, both of these projects are being funded by NLNet, which is a nonprofit organization in the Netherlands that like funds these free software projects. So we do have quite a bit of funding for that, which is awesome. And I think that's the end of what I have to say. So now I'm open to questions.
Okay, so as someone who like has a very strong interest in the Fediverse, I've actually been following your project for a while now. And one of the things I guess I really wanted to ask about is, one of the things I've really seen with the Fediverse that's still a problem is, like, let's say we take something like ForgeFed, for example, or even like Forgeo, and I decide I want to host my project on here, but because I'm using one of many instances within like a federated network, how can we like ensure like, I guess reliability almost? Because like obviously when I sign up for something like GitHub, one of the reasons I use GitHub is so I can store my code on there and I can make sure my code will stay there. So is there like any like sort of like, I guess, any like plans, I guess, for like ease of like instance migration, if like one instance becomes like unreliable, or you know, or even just like some way to account for that like very real issue of reliability when it comes to instances?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that ties back to what I said earlier about like making migrations as easy as possible. Like we want you to be able to just like migrate all your repositories for your account, like from one server to another. Also, like with this common data format, this also enables us to like do mirroring a lot easier. Like right now with Forgeo, for instance, you can mirror a repository from one instance to another, but that uses Git actually to do the mirroring, so it only mirrors the code, right? Since Git doesn't handle bugs or pull requests or any of that. So with ForgeFed, we'll be able to, in addition to this Git mirroring, we'll additionally be able to mirror like all the issues of for your project and things like that. So with mirroring, hopefully that should also improve reliability if you're using like the Forgeo instance like as a backup, so that now your data will be stored on multiple instances.
Hey, I think it's a great project. I think it's really important. I guess I'm wondering, have you reached out to the Social Web Working Group about this? The reason I ask is because in the past few weeks, there's been a lot of discussion around use cases for ActivityPub outside of the microblogging use case, and whether or not ActivityPub needs to be updated, or this stuff falls under Activity Streams somewhere, or how that works. So I'm wondering if you've reached out to them, and if you haven't, I'd encourage you to.
So I personally haven't reached out, but yeah, that's definitely something that I'm thinking of doing. Yeah.
Cool, thank you.
I don't think this is as interesting to the use case for free software, but is access control in scope, like making repositories accessible only to certain peers in the network?
Yeah, so that's actually a very interesting question, because in the ForgeFed protocol, we've been experimenting with using object capabilities for handling things like permissions and access control. I think for the implementation in Forgeo, though, probably won't like use any of the fancy object capabilities and stuff. But that is something that we are like actively working on with the protocol.
Does that also relate to the searching?
Sorry, I don't know if this is possible or not, but you were talking about the idea of global search.
Yeah.
Is that something that would use this object-based stuff as well, or am I misunderstanding?
So, like, the global search actually is sort of a separate project outside of ForgeFed. So the stuff I was talking about with object capabilities is like different way of like modeling the permissions and stuff. But I guess, yeah, I don't think those two particular topics are that related.
Okay, I was just, again, I may be totally off base, but if so, you can certainly correct me. But what I heard you saying about the problem with global search in terms of people trying to hack Mastodon now to add that on, right, is
yeah.
that there is an issue potentially with it being just a binary thing, right? Like, here it is,
yeah.
right? And so if you could use a more, it's not granularity, but if you could,
yeah, that makes
if you
sense.
Could assign some sort of object attributes, right, then somebody could say, okay, I'm exposing this to be available to searches of this type, right? And whereas that just seems similar to me to the issue of
was
just being discussed.
Yeah, I see now. Yeah, I'm actually not working on the global search thing at all, but yeah, I think that's definitely like an interesting direction that to explore. So are there any other questions?
It seems like the standard that ForgeFed is creating could also be used in tandem with Git SSB or Radical to create a peer-to-peer project that works in tandem with those systems that would use that same system, that same specification, and could interact and be interoperable with these federated forges that are more like always-on nodes. Have you considered how that would work with a different protocol?
So I think I can definitely see that working out. I guess for us, like we're sort of mostly focusing on these like more traditional forges that are just like servers. Instead of a peer-to-peer network, but like ForgeFed, like I can definitely see it potentially being used like in a peer-to-peer network.
I have another question. Is the SMTP based, I guess it's sort of a specification that is part of SourceHut, at all relevant to the ForgeFed project? More just on a specific forges can do their own thing with respect to SMTP?
I haven't really actually looked into the details of SourceHut, but I think, yeah, like it is trying to like accomplish maybe similar things. So I think early on in the development of ForgeFed, actually SourceHut was one of the participants in that, but that was several years ago, and yeah, I don't know too much about that since I actually joined the project like around a year ago.
Thank you very much.
Hi, thanks for the talk. I have a question about certain kind of like Forge kind of software, like Garrett, have a kind of different working model, right? More so than forking and then submitting pull requests, you might upload a patch and then have that cherry picked, a kind of different workflow. How do you think that would work with ForgeFed, kind of different workflows?
It's a bit complicated in that, like, ForgeFed also, I think, tries to be general in that, tries to support, like, all these different workflows. Like, actually, it's also tries to be, like agnostic to the version control system you're using, since one of the ForgeFed developers is really interested in, like, the Dark's version control system. I think, like, theoretically, it should be able to support all these different, like, workflows, and it should be reasonably interoperable. But, like, in practice, like, different forges, they have lots of differences, so the, like, communication between forges might not work out, like, as well as you want, simply because of all these differences between different forges.
That makes sense. Yeah. I had one follow-on question. So I'm not entirely familiar with ActivityPub and things of that sort. But do you think it would be possible to have, like, a, say there was a forge that was federated that you wanted to submit a pull request to or something to that effect? Could you do that purely from, like, a client on your end?
And
say, like, craft some kind of request to that forge?
I think in theory you could, but based on the way ActivityPub is usually implemented, that's a little bit more challenging in that you'd probably have to have an account on some other forge that implements ForgeFed in order to do that, I think.
Makes sense. Thanks.
Hello. I had basically the same question that he just asked for his last question, but if you... Like, do you know, because I know, like, you can view, like, PixelFed posts on Mastodon or, like, PeerTube videos, you can watch them through Mastodon. Is it a goal, or do you know if it's possible if you can, like, view PR threads in Mastodon without changes to Mastodon? Or do you think they, like, have a whitelist of types, which, like, the PR type wouldn't be in there, so it wouldn't work?
Yeah, so I actually looked into this because one thing that we were thinking about is being able to, like, not only like interoperate between forges, but also between like Forgeo and like Mastodon, for instance.
Yeah.
So Mastodon does in their source code they have like a list of like whitelisted types.
Okay.
There's one like ActivityPub feature that could potentially be useful in that it supports type arrays, so you can like specify for this activity, like you can actually give it multiple types.
Yeah.
However, Mastodon doesn't support type arrays either,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
And also the library we're using in the ForgeFed implementation for Forge also doesn't support type arrays. So, like, would be really helpful if that worked, but unfortunately, I don't know if that's a good solution. So, we definitely would need to like contribute. A patch to Mastodon in order to allow for things like commenting on an issue from Mastodon or like just viewing the pull request thread. But that is something that we hope to have in the future.
Yeah, that's a good idea with the type array stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to write a generic like ActivityPub client that's like read only, but the exact same thing, like it doesn't support type arrays, only like strings for the types. But
yeah,
but yeah, that's cool. Yeah. All right, sounds good, thanks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Does this protocol support some kind of digital signature so that to authenticate, be certain that a specific user, another server, actually did an action?
Okay, so the question is, does this protocol support some kind of digital signature to check that a certain user did some action. So this is also, this like signatures is something that's that almost all ActivityPub implementations have. And it's actually not in the ActivityPub standard itself. It's something that, that Mastodon did and now everyone else does it in order to be compatible. So yeah, we definitely will have like signatures. So on this line, like requests and things like that. Yeah. All right. So that's the end of this talk. Thanks everyone for coming. Yeah.